Hi there. Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Well, it's been another hot minute since I got in touch with you guys. It's been really interesting, but I wanted to check in, catch you up to date. I wish I'd been doing this weekly because things have been changing so rapidly in my world, but things happen for a reason, so here we are. The biggest thing happening right now that you guys will be interested to know is that as of the first of this week, and today is Thursday? I think today's Thursday. Yeah. So, last weekend, first of this week, my delightful brother that I am estranged from came to town to Austin to see my parents because I invited him. My mom had been in such decline. I actually called hospice, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago to find out what our options were because she was really going downhill. And, you know, everything that I was trying to do with my medical intuition and my understanding of her body was just not working for a while. And I was having to fight my dad constantly, every second of every day. With every task that we needed to do for my mom, I had to fight my dad to get it done. I had to argue with him about, you know, the things that we had made a huge calendar of daily, of the things she needed to do and what she needed to drink and when she should sleep and how she should nap and what she should be doing for physical therapy and when she should be doing little flashcards to keep her brain engaged and when she needed to be outside to get some sunshine and some exercise and, you know, just this whole big chart that we set up for her that every single home healthcare person, her doctor, the social workers, like everybody that we got on board said, man, that's a really great schedule. That's perfect. That will keep her thriving. Well, my dad just wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. So every time he would forget something that was clearly written out and printed out for him and put in several places in the house, every time he would ignore it and I would point it out to him, he would scream and rage and just get irate at me. And I was tired of it, so I pushed back. I've got a temper too. There's only so much you can take when you're doing 24/7 caregiving and you're exhausted. And you're giving everything that you've got, and it's not appreciated by the person who is there and alert, which is my dad. My mom appreciates it. She's the one receiving the bulk of the care. She's actually easy to care for because she's right now her best self. She's just lovely and sweet and easy to care for and just wants to hold my hand and tells me she loves me. And if I leave for a half hour, you'd think I'd been gone for a week. I come back in the house and, you know, she says, oh my gosh, I missed you so much. And this is not the relationship that I've always had with my mom. We've had years and years and years that we've been estranged because of just some horrible abuse on her part. And, you know, she's softer now and gentler and her better nature has won. So it's absolutely been just the greatest gift, even though it's been, you know, stressful and so much work, but it's been the greatest gift since October to be able to bathe her and, you know, groom her and cut her hair and trim her nails and paint her toes and her fingernails and, you know, put her makeup on for her and make sure she's got cute outfits to wear and cook for her the things that she really likes because she's so appreciative of everything. And I make this stuff called mash it's basically for the times that her dementia is so bad and she really can't swallow and she needs just a lot of nutrient density. It's like it's a bone broth, organic, grass-fed beef soup, basically, that has a million vegetables in it, and I pulverize it down with a little stick blender, so it's basically just something she can drink. It's like, but she loves it, and so I make her that in bulk and other things that she likes. I keep it all on a shelf in the freezer for she and I because we're both paleo. But here's part of what here's the rub. My dad comes in and he eats everything on our paleo shelf. He's not gluten-free. He's not needing paleo. He doesn't need to be grain-free. He needs to put on weight. But he eats all of our super nutrient-dense stuff that doesn't have grains in it because. He's got two other shelves in the freezer of all kinds of stuff that I've bought for him that has grains and things that he likes, and they're all flavors that he enjoys, and it's, you know, stuff to fatten him up, but he eats all of our stuff. Go figure. So that it's just things like that all day long, asking him, you know, hey Dad, did you take Mom's temperature? No, I didn't. Okay. Did you give her prune juice? No, but I will. You know, that kind of thing. All day, every day, since October. So yeah, as much as I meditate, and as much as I'm peaceful, and as much as I reach for joy, and as much as I have all the tools in my toolbox to cultivate peace, I have not been my best self with my dad because I am sick of his shit and his constant belligerence and like childish petulance. It's been astounding. I won't even get into all the details of it because I don't want to get my blood pressure up. Speaking of which, my blood pressure a few times was 200 over 140 because of the stress of caregiving, not for my mom, but of having to take care of my dad and get through him to be able to take care of her. And every time my blood pressure was that high and I would show my dad, he would roll his eyes and smirk at me. So this is who I've been dealing with to try to take care of my sweet mom. And cut to last weekend, my lovely brother, who's always been physically violent with me, came to town because I asked him to come see mom because he hasn't been here in 3 years to even check on her. And I thought, maybe he might want to come say goodbye in case this doesn't end well. Well, what I didn't know is that behind my back, even though I asked my dad to kind of keep an eye on things and maybe protect me from my brother so it wouldn't get ugly, my dad had been feeding my brother all kinds of bullshit about me, which is super fun. So my brother came and basically pulled the entire rug out from under me and started screaming the craziest stuff at me, which I won't even get into. I'm not even going to actually give it air here. But let's just say the exact opposite of what is true is what he was yelling at me for about 45 minutes. Sum it all up to say, I was told to get my shit together and get out of their house because it's not my home and I'm not welcome there. And I told them, they're going to have to sit tight for a little bit because I've sacrificed everything in my world since 2012 to keep them okay. And I've got to still file my bankruptcy and still take care of my back taxes. I still have to get the Airstream moved into storage or into a friend's property that I looked at the other day. So I've been running from like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning until bedtime all day, every day. Just jumping as high as I can whenever mom and dad say jump to do everything for them. So I pretty much got fired from the most thankless job I've ever done. And it's interesting. Here's where the good part comes in. I have a huge sense of relief from not having to be the primary caregiver for two parents with dementia now, because my dad's got dementia as much as my mom does. He's just in the raging part and he won't get himself diagnosed because he likes where he is. He's addicted to anxiety and fear and anger. That's his love language and he likes where he is. My mom doesn't, and that's the hard part. Like it's been really tough, and the stress has been horrible for my mom and I both, because we've both got autoimmune issues. And, you know, stress just tears down your immune system. But for almost a week now, I have had this huge weight off my shoulders. I've actually been able to sleep in and not feel incredibly responsible for every single thing happening in that house of horrors that my dad has. I'm going back out to see people. I'm making in-person connections again with people that have, you know, been reaching out to me and taking care of me emotionally the last few years, because I don't have to stay isolated anymore. I was only doing that to protect my mom. So I'm vaccinated, I'm boosted, I'm going out around people again. And because I was stuck in the smallest room in their house with the tiniest closet, just like the ugly stepdaughter. I mean, it pretty much felt like Cinderella. It's like, you know, you clean all this up and maybe you get to go to the ball. About 2 weeks ago, I walked into the den and told them both something that really the universe listened to. And once I declared it, like, everything has started to fall into place. That's the point to this podcast. It really is. Once you declare what it is that you want and where you're headed, the universe will conspire so quickly to make it happen for you. It's not even funny. So 2 weeks ago, I walked into the den. I woke up crying in the middle of the night. I was so exhausted. And I walked in the den and said, okay, I can't sleep here. I am in the hottest room in the house because my room is a good 15 degrees hotter than anywhere else in their house. Don't know why. It's also the tiniest little guest room with the tiniest little closet. So I had stuff in a hall closet and out in the garage and under the bed and just shoved everywhere trying to get to things. And I had all my tax stuff in the dining room, but I could never get to it because they would see me and, Sissy, I need this, would start. Sissy, can you do this for me? I need to go. Hey, Sissy. Like, just the ADD instant gratification thing that they both do was on the second they saw me. So I could never sit down and focus and do what I needed to do. I couldn't get organized. And I was hot as hell. I'm menopausal. I have Lyme disease. I cannot regulate my body temperature. So I have to sleep really cold. So I woke up crying in the middle of the night. And I went in the next morning into the den and I said, look, here's the deal. Your life is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You're wanting to move to my brother's eventually and, you know, live in his tiny little back house, which is not much bigger than the Airstream, to be honest. I said, so you need to start shrinking and getting rid of stuff and getting smaller. My life is getting bigger. I'm trying to grow my, you know, my life coaching, my intuitive coaching stuff. I'm pet sitting a lot. I'm trying to clean up, you know, my paperwork and my tax stuff from my old company. I'm trying to get my sea legs under me health-wise. I need more space. I'd like to have a girlfriend of mine that, you know, helps me organize and do all kinds of stuff. I'd love to have a space for her to come and actually, you know, spend the night some so she could help me. Don't have any room in the world's tiniest, hottest bedroom. Also, that bedroom had one window. It's tiny. It looked out at the neighbor's house next door, and it was basically just a stucco wall, so it looked like I was in prison. And I got one TV channel. They never would get me a Suddenlink box, so I couldn't ever have cable. So I had one over-the-air antenna channel. It was CBS, and this is what it sounded like all the time, because it was constantly just interference. Like, you couldn't even get a full signal. So I just went into the den and I said, look, if you want me to stay here and you want me to help you, it's time for you to downsize. Mom needs to be safer. She needs a smaller room. She needs to be right by the bathroom. She needs the less plush carpet that's in the guest room. And she's cold all the time. So I'm switching with you guys. If you want my help, we're switching rooms. I get the master bedroom, the master bath, and the big ass closet. And you guys get to start shrinking your life down to where it will be an easier transition for you if and when you go out to Phoenix. And y'all, they bought it, which is good. So I spent the last couple of weeks getting moved in. Things were getting calmer with my dad. We had rounded a corner. I thought he was being, you know, less vindictive and intentional with acting out and all that. I had a very false sense of security that things were getting better. And like everything else with my delightful family, just waiting for the other shoe to drop, which it does. And this time it was, you know, an army boot with spikes on it. So, you know, my brother came and did his delightful song and dance, pretending like he knows everything, like he always does. And just flung every single horrible thing at me that he could think to fling. Fueled by my dad. No telling what my dad's been telling him, because my dad does not face reality. He's never accountable. He's never wrong. Although he neglected to mention to my brother all the mornings that he came out into the den crying and telling me how he'd screwed everything up so bad and could I please keep helping. You know, none of that was ever said to my brother. But anyway, they yanked the rug out from under me and pretty much fired me from the big thankless caregiving job. So I have this amazing new sense of energy happening. I hired my own life coach yesterday. I'm so excited. She's intuitive. She's a kick-ass human being. I've been watching her for about 6 months because she kept popping up in my Facebook feed just with these amazingly profound posts. And I'm like, that's my girl when the time's right. And I know that I can actually focus and not be distracted and pulled 700 directions at a time. You know, the time will be right. And the time is now, because when the plug got pulled on the caregiving, all of a sudden, all these amazing synchronicities have started to happen. A friend called me again and said, I've got some land, you know, 10 minutes north of your parents. I would love to put in a 30-amp electrical outlet and have you come up and live there for the next 6 months to a year while you get your sea legs and figure out what you're doing. So we're pursuing that. I've got a storage space for the Airstream in the meantime until that's all put away. I've been looking for, God, for like 2.5 months. I've been trying to get back to the Airstream for more than one night at a time. Sometimes I would come down here. It's a 2-hour round-trip drive, but sometimes I would drive down here from Georgetown just to take a nap and have a good cry, and then I would have to turn around and go back up there to take care of something, a doctor's appointment or a visit or, you know, an emergency or something. So I haven't been in my Airstream but maybe 5 or 6, 7 nights since October. So I haven't been able to find this huge set of keys that basically has my hitch lock and all the storage compartment keys and all the things that I need to actually move the Airstream. I couldn't find them. But today, because I came down yesterday, drank a little bit of wine, had a really good cry, got a good night's sleep, woke up, been really productive today, with a lot of joy in my heart this time, instead of, you know, a feeling of doom having to pack and look. I'm organizing and I'm tidying up and I'm finding stuff and I'm getting rid of things and I'm cleaning, and it's going super smoothly. And of course, I found the keys, you know, about an hour ago. So just thing after thing after thing is falling into place like it's supposed to. I even had a caregiver fall into place to replace myself with. I didn't have to do that, but I had posted on Facebook, you know, asking a question about a caregiver in Georgetown, you know, that could come in part-time. And somebody called, and she showed up the other day, and she actually came today for her first visit with Mom and Dad, and I think it's going to be great. Because, of course, my dad doesn't appreciate all the work that I did, essentially for free for him, but if you pay someone $25 an hour to do it, suddenly he cares. Suddenly he's appreciative. So whatever. At least I don't have to do it. I'm gonna be there to still do my mom's medication, fill her pills, because my dad was screwing that up and technically poisoning her. He's also not safe when he bathes her, so I'm gonna continue to bathe her, cut her hair, take her to doctors, because I'm the only one that asks questions. Nobody else asks anything. They just sit there and sort of stare at the doctor. So my intuition has me ask a lot of questions and get a lot of good answers and get a lot of healing happening. So I'm gonna just keep my mom as patched up as I possibly can, you know, between now and they gave me 6 weeks to get all my stuff together and get out. I'm like, well, that's nice, except I've been taking care of you for so long that it's gonna take longer than that. I'm gonna need, you know, 3 or 4 months to pull it together. Because I've got back taxes and a bankruptcy to file and 2 new businesses to lay the groundwork for and figure out, you know, where I'm going and what I'm doing. So they're just going to have to, for the first time in their lives, they're going to sit tight. They're going to have to take care of me a little bit, and they're going to have to wait. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Because my new answer, anytime my dad asks me anything, is to call my brother. Because he thinks he knows so much and is in such control of all this. Knock yourself out, buddy. You take it from here. So I'm going to... Also, the sad part is, I will not be seeing my parents again once they move out there, based on I knew it intuitively that, you know, I have about a 2-hour window that I can deal with my brother and his toxic energy and his narcissism and ego and all his crap. But I'm not going to go out there because of how violent and abusive he is. I won't get to go visit my parents again. Not that I want to see my dad. I'm pretty much convinced that our contract is up and we're done. I would like to see my mom, but once they're gone, I'm going to have to just bless and release her. So this is a real interesting and nostalgic and tricky time to mourn somebody, you know, as you have them. But a lot of people, you know, have done that in their lives. So it's just my turn. But she's feeling a little better right now, so I'm going to start taking her to Unity Church on Sundays and put her makeup on her because it sure makes her feel good. And I've been buying her flowers and, you know, just doing little things to spoil her. And today I actually bought, she loves The Lion King. She loves the music and the movie, but she's never seen the show. And it's actually, I'm going to take her on Easter Sunday to the matinee here in Austin. So I think she's just going to be amazed. I was able to get, you know, this last minute, I just called today, but I was able to get a handicap seat for her and her wheelchair and one next to it for me. So I took that as a sign that she and I were supposed to go have a little adventure. So I'm just going to make memories with my mom and steer clear of my dad and start focusing just fully on me, which is really, honestly, not something I have done that much since I was 10 years old. I've had brief periods where I was able to, but what would happen is, and this has always been the pattern, my parents literally start to die for one reason or another, and they call me in like the cavalry to fix everything. And I heal them, and I pull their lives back together, and I fix all the pieces and parts. And I use my medical intuition and my other intuitive gifts to put all the Humpty Dumpty pieces back together. And then as soon as they're put back together, they shove me out of their life. And that's exactly what happened this time. But the interesting thing is, this is the last time we're going to do this. I'm not doing it again. I don't care. I don't care who goes down the drain. I don't care how many pieces they fall into. The way they handled this, you know, my mom, you know, I'm going to have to just surround her with as much white light as possible and ask for you to do the same and hope that she'll be okay and not be neglected to death when she goes out there with my dad and my brother. But I'm not going to do it anymore. It's an ancient, ancient dysfunctional dance of me helping people that don't really want to be helped, most especially my dad, and I can't fight him. So I am going to just focus on me and put all this energy that I've put into them, all of the intuitive gifts that I've laid at their feet. You know, he's kicked them back in my face now, so I'm going to pack them up and run with them and use them for me. Because once I have filled myself back up again, then I can give from the overflow and get back to my life coaching again, because I've sort of put that aside with all the chaos that's been going on. It's been just really hard to focus. I've been doing a ton of pet sitting, which is cool because I know that Dylan and my other critters have been sending me animal after animal after animal that's needed me and has been loving towards me and soothing and, you know, served as kind of a, I don't know, I guess a, oh God, seriously, I'm tired. What's the word? Like a service animal for me, like an emotional support animal. All of my pet sitting clients have basically been that. So I was looking today, I was tallying it all up, and I am essentially booked through the middle of September, almost completely, for overnights. So it's not even going to matter where I put the Airstream. I might as well put it in storage, because I don't even know that I'm going to have very many nights that I could spend in it, which is kind of funny. But I'm just going to trust, and I'm going to go with the flow, and I'm going to realize the universe has my back, and that I'm going to fill myself back up and learn to dream again, which is what that life coach is for, to hold me accountable, to, you know, clean up my mess, and to not backtrack with my parents. You know, if they do blow up and their wheels come off, it's not my job to fix it. I'm going to have her help me remember that. And I'm going to learn to dream again and be creative again and start singing again and learn to play the guitar. I'm going to get out and start making social connections again. Try to date, God forbid. all the stuff that normal people do that I have not been able to do for years and years. So, I'm excited. I'm trying to look at the silver lining instead of the dark cloud. Because my dad and my brother are very dark, cloudy thunderstorms. They're the kind of, like, shitty thunderstorm that has a tornado hidden inside of it. The kind that are really deadly. That's how they are. But I am a sparkly rain shower in the spring, and it's nurturing, and it's lovely, and it brings great life. And that's the kind of storm I am. So I am going to get back to my own best nature and go from there. Anyway, that's my story for now. Thank you, as always, for listening. I love you. I will try to talk to you sooner than later, but I do have a lot on my plate right now, getting moved and getting organized and starting over, but I'm excited and I appreciate you being along for the ride.